Hello everyone, Nathaniel Whittemore here. Before we get into today's Trendline episodes, I want to talk about why KPMG's newly announced global strategic alliance with Anthropic is such big news. KPMG has just become the first of the big four firms to integrate Anthropic's frontier AI model, Claude, directly into its flagship global client services delivery platform known as Digital Gateway. The partnership represents a major shift from AI being a disconnected standalone tool to being embedded directly into the core of where work actually happens and where the data lives. Rather than waiting for technologists to build solutions, KPMG professionals and clients will be able to use tools like Claude Cowork and Managed Agents to create real-time, agent-driven workflows for complete tax, finance, and consulting challenges. And on top of that, Anthropic has named KPMG a preferred consultant for the private equity market. The two firms will be going to market together to help PE firms and their portfolio companies deploy Claude AI to streamline operations, cut development life cycles, and drive massive value creation. It's a significant signal that the next era of enterprise AI is all about bringing trusted, scalable, agentic AI directly into core business operations. Excited to see where that partnership goes, but with that, let's get into today's episode. In this Trendline episode, I'm joined by two AI leaders from KPMG. Swami Chandrasekaran is the Global Head of AI and Data Labs at KPMG LLP, while Rafiq Jalal is the US and Global Head of Tax Cloud Data and AI Programs at KPMG. If you've listened to previous episodes of You Can With AI, and especially if you're a listener of my daily podcast, the AI Daily Brief, you'll know that we are in the midst of a major shift in how enterprises use and consume AI. In this week's Trendline episode of You Can With AI, we discuss AI harnesses, agentic work, token budgets, and what enterprise leaders need to do as AI shifts from assistant to actual work partner. All right, Rafiq, Swami, welcome back to You Can With AI. This is a Trendline episode, a new thing we're experimenting with. And the idea of these Trendline episodes is to take some of the most important conversations, themes that are driving builders in the AI industry, people who are really close to the action, and help contextualize them and also explain their relevance for a more enterprise work-centric audience. And this episode, there are a variety of things going on that I think are interesting candidates, but a lot of them come to an appreciation or an emerging understanding of just how different this agentic era is going to be when it comes to enterprise AI adoption. And there's a bunch of implications, I think, from the way that work is organized to the way that it is paid for. But where I want to start is with the conversation about harnesses. So a big theme among developers, builders, startups is harnesses and harness engineering. The idea that when we're thinking about AI performance, we're no longer just asking a question of what a model can do. We're asking a question about the environment in which it operates. Claude Code versus Codex is a major battle in the commercial space right now, but that's just one example of harnesses in action. What are the discussions like from your interactions, either within KPMG or with clients, in terms of this understanding of not just thinking about AI as a model question, but thinking about it as a product question and as an entire environmental question for how you get the most out of these systems?
I can go first. So we're very glad we're settling down on a name first like harness, but by going back 24 months, I've been looking at, look, what does an agent need? And the model, yes, is the brain, but we need many other things, including how do I do state management, orchestration, memory, like context retrieval and whatnot. And it has been a question all the time. So now it is amplifying even further, which is because we are now looking at agents that could run for a few days. At least that's what we are hoping for, I'm hoping for, and clients are asking that. If I need to do that, then it stresses the importance of having all of these things we're talking about. So one part of the conversation is, okay, I'm at a desktop, I'm doing code, I'm doing knowledge work, I need the harness. I need something where I can instruct it and does all of these things for me. On the other side, look, I'm in a very simple web application. I don't even know what a harness is, but I know my work is going to take a few hours to run. Can it reliably run without interruptions or without breaking in between and be whatnot? So there are those two classes of work. One are people who really know what a harness is and people who don't know how to explain what a harness is, but want that capability available. In either of the two cases, what it is stressing the importance for is the things I listed. I need to be able to run. I need to be for a long time. So I need to manage state, memory, retrieve context. If errors happen, I can correct it. if humans have to be involved, I can bring them in. And how do I surface up all of the things and results I produce? And I do this in a very reliable kind of manner. Now, in doing all of this, there is also questions that come up. Which model should I use? Would I run out of tokens? I cannot do a voodoo dance before I can go start a job because I'll run out of tokens. So it's all of those things coming together and colliding. But the fundamental point is, like I said, how do I look at them through those two lenses?
And I think one thing that I've come to realize in working in the enterprise at scale over the last 2 years is as people are now only now starting to realize that they can use AI for a research assistant and a better than a web search query, here comes harnesses, right? And you're now in a world where, okay, I was able to just now able to get a better result to my research query. Now, I think I've heard somebody tell me that it can actually do the work as well. And so that's the realization people are starting to come to at work. Now, people at home who are techies may obviously know this by deploying these tools on their laptops, on their MacBook Pros and Mac Minis and whatnot. But that's not coming to work, right? And so that's the realization that I've seen both at KPMG and with our clients is, oh my God, I don't know what this thing is called, but I think it can do my work. And I think I can do a lot more with this thing. And so how do I get it? How do I roll it out? Can you make it happen? Right? So that's the conversation right now with harnesses.
Do you think, it sounds like this is sort of the what you were saying, Rafiq, but is there a broader shift in the understanding of what these tools are capable of? Basically, are sort of enterprises following along with this shift? And how is it changing their strategy and practice? Because they could be forgiven for being at least a little frustrated that they spent 2 years building these systems for helping people figure out which use cases were approved and how to use assisted AI. And then all of a sudden, we've got these things that are totally changing, not even just how we do our jobs, but the extent to which our jobs are about doing the thing versus managing agents that do the thing. How are organizations adapting to what is an even bigger shift in some ways in how they work?
I guess I'll go first here, Swami. Not yet is the answer, Nathaniel. The reality is it's going to kick in between, I would say, a month ago and over the next, let's say, 3 months, right? It's going to really kick in. And because people are actually going to start getting used to touching these capabilities. Microsoft is rolling out theirs, Google is rolling out theirs, Anthropic has rolled out theirs, and all the big tech have rolled out a harness-enabled AI capability recently into the enterprise. And so the answer is people have not yet really been exposed to it and are only now going to start getting exposed to it. And like I said before, it's going to completely rewire what the expectation is going to be for how work happens in a good way, right? Not in a scary way or in a tokenomics kind of way, but in a good way, right? Yes, there's going to be questions about security and cost and so on and so forth, but there's so many positives that could come out of this as well. And I think that realization will start to happen over the next, let's say, quarter, right, at work.
I've been saying this for a while now, which is you have to reimagine or reinvent work, as cliched as it sounds. Otherwise, this is going to look like automation that we have tried for the last several generations. I'll take a practical example, something as simple as invoice processing. I could very easily build an agent with a harness and they go process all these invoices, extract the line items, check if they are on a threshold and go approve or reject them. But that's not reinvention. But now you have the opportunity to reinvent or reimagine the piece of work where I can extract the invoices at a higher degree of accuracy, but I can go look at my time entry or my GIS GPS system to see if the vendor was actually present on site doing the work. I can go to my procurement system and check if the scope of services or the services they claim they did work was actually in the contract that they're allowed to do work. I can go to a third-party system to check if the prices quoted were in agreement or if fair prices were quoted. I could go to a third-party risk monitoring system and I'll say, hey, did this vendor have a red flag or is the vendor doing business with another vendor who's got a red flag? What I gave you was a very simple example, but that reinvention was I started with very simple invoice processing. Now I'm ending up breaking up org structures and doing procurement, I'm doing third-party risk, I'm doing other HR-related things where I'm able to reduce the outcome here is I can detect leakage, fraud and abuse that is happening. So that is not kicked in, like Rafiq said. That is what I'm actually pushing for clients to think, look, how can you reinvent work? You now have the ability to do these kind of things. That's where harnesses can let you do. The question is, are you truly rethinking how your work could be across the front, middle, back office and core functions? That is the next big shift I see happening.
One of the interesting things about this shift to the reinvention question. I think it's been clear to many for a while that the biggest value from AI was going to accrue not for people who just thought about it as an efficiency technology, but as people who are thinking about it as a way to create new opportunities. But now that's real in a different way. The example that you just gave being something that's not some future theoretical example, but something that over a weekend someone could actually wire up, right? Very realistically and reasonably. It feels like the most sophisticated organizations are, as part of this, recognizing that there's not really a cleaner way to figuring out that work reinvention than just creating safe space for people to go experiment. And what I mean by that is that it's very difficult to redesign work top down without the actual understanding of the person on the ground who's doing that work, having some hand in experimenting with it. Do you see that? Is that recognition clear to anyone? Is it forming? Is this conversation shifting the balance between top-down and bottom-up thinking when it comes to AI adoption? And have you seen yet any good examples of how organizations have dealt with the sort of myriad challenges of implementing or creating space for these more powerful systems while still giving their teams the ability to experiment to figure out that reinvention live in practice?
Yeah, there is a two-part thing that is needed, right, to address what you just asked. One part is, hey, where do I go try out these things? So there are people who have the always curious mindset. Hey, can I do this? Can I do that? And like Rafiq said, they turn to your personal Mac minis or your personal Macs and where they have Claude Cowork set up there and Codex set up there, and they go try out those things because in the enterprise, they cannot. But of course, when they do it on the personal side, they cannot use all the confidential data. So they have to make up something. So the first order of business is to solve for, okay, can I create a safe zone? So in running the labs, I've set up sandboxes where folks within KPMG can come and do that safe testing and experimentation. So for the eager and curious, you need to have it. That goes without saying. If you don't have that, you should have had it yesterday. Let me start there. Number two is the reimagination of or reinvention of work. While that is intent, then it comes to the second problem, which is what Rafiq was touching. Hey, do I have all these forward-looking modern things? Do I have the harness that is pre-connected to my data for context? Do I have the harness connected to the LLMs I need for the job? Do I have the right orchestration capabilities which I can put things together? Do I have agent skills that I could leverage to assemble the new work? Now we are looking at this concept I've been talking about called the new work surface, where I need all of this laid out in front of me. And there is a responsibility where it could be a central group that makes it available as a platform. And you give that, I'm pretty confident it is going to open up the minds. We got brilliant people, right? It's just that they don't have access to things. They've not been able to orient themselves. Oh, can I do this? Can I not do this? We are in the situation where I feel if you make it available, you provide all of those things and a safe zone to do these things, we will start to see the innovation.
I do want to add one more point I'm starting to observe right now, Swami, is thanks to the work that we're doing, your team's doing at KPMG, the putting tech aside, there's a lot of interactions that are starting to kick up, human-to-human interactions that are starting to kick up in real time. We used to go walk up to a whiteboard and draw stuff, and now we have a thinking partner with us as well. So that's kicking up a lot of interesting conversations. How do we solve client problems? Hey, let's bring this particular tool. Let's ideate together. So it's becoming a three-way or a four-way conversation now with the tool to ideate. And that's opening so many new possibilities as well. So the ideation aspect and whiteboarding aspect is starting to completely change the way we think and the way we, and this is the human angle. This is not about tech, right? It completely changed the way we think and we act. And it's in many cases, we as KPMG work within our own teams, but invite clients into that conversation. And that's having a meaningful impact as well in those human relationships with these harnesses.
Well, one thing I could add, since Rafiq mentioned it, one of the experiments we've been doing, we have rolled out a tool in beta for tacit knowledge extraction. So this is like, if Rafiq is known for, he's the best thinker in indirect taxes, for example, but he's not written down anything on a piece of paper. How do I go engage with an expert and have AI interview that person? It's not going to give up, hey, let me help you rethink these different scenarios, but I also understand or want to understand how you do that piece of work. That is showing some really interesting observations and results where they want more thinkers to come in, also share their point of views. Okay, I know three other people who do indirect taxes, so let me bring them in as an example. So there is this thirst for, look, what are the different ways in which we can understand how we humans think or how we can reimagine things. And end of the day, if I can do all of that, now where do I go reflect that piece of knowledge I've captured into an agent or into through harness and be working on?
One of the things that comes along with this much deeper work reimagining type of usage of AI is a lot more usage of AI, a lot more consumption of tokens, and just a very fundamentally different consumption pattern. Are you seeing organizations yet starting to struggle to figure out token budgets and allocations and how to manage that? You know, there's a whole conversation in Silicon Valley about the idea of token maxing, which is incentivizing people to consume more as proxy for AI usage. Out in the real world of actual businesses that are having to function, what are you seeing along those lines as it comes to some of the shifting business model questions around AI and the shifting consumption patterns as well?
So outside of Silicon Valley, I can tell you that both within KPMG and our clients, I haven't really come across token maxing yet in the day-to-day lives of the broader scaled organization. There are pockets where people do stuff, and that could be attributed to Silicon Valley. I don't know where that goes. But I do think that my own personal experience has been many weeks and months of figuring things out and starting to understand what this actually relates to in terms of making meaningful outcomes, and then having a pattern of starting to use the tool in a more efficient way. That realization curve, I think, is going to happen beyond an individual player mode, in a team player mode and scaled organization mode. But that's something that, like I said earlier, it's going to happen, I think, in the next quarter or so. It's not yet started to kick in at scale. It's still currently being used predominantly as a chat assistant, a research assistant, not so much as a work buddy that will sit alongside my team and do work together. So I think the reality is it's going to kick in. It's going to have a meaningful change in how people are starting to understand what AI can do with the harness for them. And then once there's a realization of what the patterns are, it's going to stabilize until we hit the next curve, right?
So here is my observation on our experience from this, Daniel, that there are 2 to 3 parts to it. Part one is, this is a KPMG situation because of the AI quote-unquote abundance we have. You've got a lot of capabilities that we made available to our employees, which means I can switch to different models to avoid the token maxing problem. For example, I start my day with Cursor, I run out of tokens, I go to GitHub Copilot, I run out of tokens, I go to Gemini. So I've got choices, let me put it that way. It's not ideal, but I've got choices. And I represent many others who are like me who do that every day. So we run out of tokens, but we kind of swivel chair. Like Rafiq said, this is primarily today confined, especially, I mean, even in enterprises that I talk to, because of coding tasks, because that's where everything started. So in coding agents, people do that. They swivel chair their experience or their way through the day. But the inflection point is going to be when we start to use this for knowledge work. The invoice example I gave you, or I'm doing a financial due diligence long horizon task. It's just going to run for 6 hours and it's going to consume a whole bunch of tokens. I need the best reasoning and front-end model for that. When we start to do more and more of those kind of knowledge work, this will start to become a bigger problem in enterprises. So something to watch out for. Part three of this is not necessarily token maxing, but the way you procure LLMs tokens are priced differently. When you buy it from a SaaS vendor versus a coding tool versus an LLM directly, they're priced differently. So token maxing is also contributing to this. What is my IT budget that I need to allocate forecast? It is becoming harder and harder because costs are getting out of control because everybody's pricing it differently and there are multiplier factors applied. So all of these are going to start to come at an inflection point when this knowledge work or reinvention of work really starts to kick off, and it will be something that enterprises need to start planning right now.
And I think it sounds like an obvious advice, but I don't know if it's a real obvious one, is organizations should not incentivize token maxing for the sake of measuring outcomes. I know that it happens and it may result in some positive outcomes predominantly in big tech, but I don't know if that should be at scale at big enterprises. You know, incentivizing people's year end or whatnot based on the number of tokens that they consume seems like a wrong lens to look at how productivity happens at work.
It sounds to me like if you took a big step back, one way that you could describe the meta argument of this conversation is a shift has happened in the capability set of AI and how people are using AI and where AI is going. And there's a portion of the world that is surfing at that edge. And it sounds to me like your assessment is that enterprises are watching it. They're paying attention closely. The first leaders among them are dabbling, but they're just a little bit behind, a quarter, two quarters behind. If that is the case, if you're sort of an average enterprise looking forward to the next quarter, wanting to move from watching to participating, what are the two or three first moves that you would suggest they make to get up to speed on this new agentic harness, token maxing, Claude code, Codex era of AI?
So first order of business is pick a harness or pick a couple of harnesses you give them as options. So you have to pick something. And whatever you pick, I hope, is going to meet the needs of where you want it to, and it works the way you want it to. So there are quite a few options out there, not to single out anything, all the way from Claude codes of the world to Codex to Pi to Claude SDKs, and there are several other options. So pick something. The second order of business is, okay, now I have made it available. In order for it to be put to work, there the reinvention part comes in, right? So just giving a harness is not going to be useful. So it needs to be connected to your data, which means connectors have to be there. Context has to be established. Agent skills have to be standardized and said, okay, this is how we do work. So all of those things are going to be part and parcel of, you have to set up the foundation on top of the foundation. And that will promote and encourage people to start to truly reimagine and reinvent work. I know Rafik is doing some awesome work there in tax, in helping facilitate those kind of things through the platform he's building. The third part I would say is, in order for me to truly understand what does this all mean, token maxing, token usage, the value, I agree with Rafik, just looking at token use is not going to cut it, and even productivity is not going to cut it. It's a very lazy metric, in my opinion. You got to truly instrument for what is the value. So number one, I need to understand the usage, yes, but going beyond usage, what is the value I'm aspiring for? I've reimagined the piece of work. It is due diligence. Is it cycle time reduction, or is it risk reduction, or when I'm doing procure to pay, is it faster onboarding of vendors so I can reduce my churn? What is that you're measuring for? And that needs to be the North Star. It's going to be hard, but if you don't have a North Star, you'll start doing onesie, twosie things, which will not move the needle.
I would add a couple of points. As over the next quarter or two, large enterprises, medium enterprises, this is probably the time to come in both bottoms up and tops down. Historically, people might have gotten access to tools for chatting and researching. This is probably the time, if you haven't already done it, to meaningfully lean in from both angles. Bottoms up is important. People who naturally gravitate towards these tooling and use it for work and productivity will do it. But top down is very important to set the tone from the top. People at the top need to be hands-on as well and set the tone from the top. So this probably is the time. This quarter and next is pretty much the time to lean in heavily on both sides of the equation. And everybody gets hands-on, right? And whatever definition of hands-on means, right? Everybody gets hands-on.
I agree wholeheartedly with that advice. I think it's going to be an extremely fast-moving and dynamic year, even more, unfortunately, for some than we've had in the past. Really appreciate you taking a few minutes today to help try to contextualize it for people and help them understand what to do next.
Thanks, Nathan.
Thank you.